The Burrows of Berea is a conversational podcast.
We study the Bible and we talk about it.
Not all of us are of the same faith.
And one of us doesn't have a faith.
But we still love one another, and we're going to continue to talk about these things.
The things we believe in and the things we believe about what we read in the Bible. Not all of these are necessarily true. Some of it is opinion and speculation. Thank you for
listening and speculating with us.
There you go. That was good. Yes. Oops, oops, oops.
You are listening to the Burrows of Berea.
Welcome back to the Burrows of Berea. I am Rick Welch, and to my left is Billy I. Candy Kimsey.
Like a Reese's Big Cup red velvet cake thingy, all wrong.
Have you seen those? No.
The caramel ones you brought for Halloween?
Yeah, those are delicious.
Oh, my God.
There's a red velvet one.
How does that even work?
In the name of all that is holy, get thee hence from me.
Thou shalt not pass.
These lips.
Tiziana, Mom So Hard Subverse. Woo! How you momming so hard?
Put your shoes on.
That is so hard.
Your shoes on. Andy, we're going to do a song. It's one of the first songs ever for my girls. You've got to put on your shoes.
Yes.
We can't leave until you do. You know, yeah. Oh, you got to put. I have a whole song.
Do your kids watch Miss Rachel?
Yeah, sir.
Dude.
Please.
Do Mrs. Tizzy.
Oh, no, yeah, well.
Come on,
the amount
bro.
Of time and energy that that would require of me is tizzy, not tizzy. Something that I have to offer at the moment. But, yeah, I have like, that song too, it's got a great bass line, Andy.
Boom, I can't wait.
Boom, 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 boom. You know, it's
put
good.
Put on your shoes.
Yeah, put them on.
The Honorable Sarita the Edge Edgerton.
Represent.
Yep, all up in this house.
Oh,
she's
so
that's good.
That's good.
Behind the glass, Rocket Man Andy Bishop. Straight out of Compton, Ralph Hicks.
Represent.
He beat on his chest.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I have boobs. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
And Rick, Big Daddy Carter.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're back sultry. In the studio. It's so nice. The quality of the sound is so nice.
Thank you, Andy.
Yeah, thanks for making us.
Oh, thank you. I just like having all the people.
All the control.
Me too. Everybody yeah, being too. Together. These last 2 months when we were apart, I got to be honest with you, it sucked for me. Like, I hated it.
It's weird.
I like being in the studio. Maybe what we'll do is we'll just take a month off next year.
Did y'all have a Christmas party?
We didn't.
Leave me out?
Okay. No, we didn't.
No.
I was just checking.
Guys, after the storm and all the crazy crap, I didn't feel like doing
everything
anything.
Everything was weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
I talked to Sarita one day, and I was like, maybe we'll do something, and then we just didn't.
Yeah. We're going to do, we'll do a summer after I'm done with session, we'll do
you
a
can
summer.
Come over and
at a
swim
pool
in our
party,
pool.
A pool party.
Find a
we'll
baby
have a hot
teasing.
Dog supper.
Like yeah. Oh, you don't want me to bring the kids to the pool party? Oh, girl. Okay. Hey.
Oh, is it going to be like woo! That?
It's that kind of party.
It's
well,
a
you
politician
know what?
Party.
The thing is, my mother-in-law
ain't
lives
no
in
party
Zion.
Like a politician party.
Ain't no party like a politician party. A politician party don't stop.
That's what I'm talking about.
But if it's to drop your kids off at the pool, we're not talking
not
about that
one. Kind of party. Drop your kids off at the in-laws.
Have a nice big rain. That's, we can go have it over at Billy's.
That is not
place.
A party that I will be invited to.
No.
Nor will I be attending. Gross.
That's gross.
All right, let's get started reading the Bible. That's what we do here.
Yeah.
So we're back on our series, A Man Greatly Beloved, a study of the book of Daniel. We've already went through the first three chapters. In chapter three, just to kind of give you a recap, is whenever
we totally
Shadrach,
remember this.
Meshach, and Abednego
so fresh.
Were thrown into the fire. Remember?
Yes, my friend gave me a little frame that she ordered a print off Etsy, and it's all these people bowing down except for three little figures. And she said, you remind me of you're standing while everybody else is bowing.
Oh, that's awesome.
And she said, I just love that.
That is awesome. And that chapter ended with Nebuchadnezzar giving a reward to those three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Babylon. So when we go into chapter four, this is awesome because it starts off with a letter written by Nebuchadnezzar himself. So you have this. What? What did I miss?
Nothing.
Did I say something wrong?
No, I just think it's hilarious.
Why?
It's like he's in all this trouble, and the next letter starts with him being like, "I'm dumb. Whoops." Like it's just like,
yeah.
I mean, my bad.
If you remember, you know, it starts off, he's afraid. He's actually going to tell us the story now, but really, you know, he kind of got ballsy there in chapter three. Like, here's this golden image. You got to worship me and blah, blah, blah.
Gets
and
then all hot under the collar when the other boys aren't doing their duty. Oh, yeah. Throw him in the fire. Make it seven times hotter, Eden. Oh, yeah. He's now what's going to happen, sir? Let's see. Let's see how that worked out. Literally one verse later.
Yes.
You know?
So I want to read this in the Christian Standard Bible, which is the version that Rick Carter usually reads.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So when we read together, I read it in this version, and I just like the way that it sounded. Here we go. I'll read the first three verses. King Nebuchadnezzar, to those of every people, nation, and language who live on the whole earth, may your prosperity increase. I am pleased to tell you about the miracles and wonders the Most High God has done for me. How great are his miracles and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. So that's a good way to start off on a letter, huh? He's not going to do anything wrong.
Yeah, after
ever again.
After he tried to burn up.
So he goes right in this letter, and he says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace. I had a dream, and it frightened me. While in my bed, the images and visions in my mind alarmed me. So I issued a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon to me in order that they might make the dream's interpretation known to me. When the magicians, mediums, Chaldeans, and diviners came in, I told them the dream, but they could not make its interpretation known to me. Finally, Daniel, named Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, and a spirit of the holy gods is in him, came before me. I told him the dream. Belteshazzar, head of the magicians, because I know that you have the spirit of the holy gods, and that no mystery puzzles you, explain to me the visions of my dream that I saw and its interpretation. That is not what he said. He is acting like a politician. In the visions of my mind, as I was lying in bed, I saw this. There was a tree in the middle of the earth, and it was very tall. The tree grew large and strong. Its top reached to the sky, and it was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit was abundant, and on it was food for all. Wild animals found shelter under it. The birds of the sky lived in its branches, and every creature was fed from it. As I was lying in my bed, I also saw in the visions of my mind a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He called out loudly, "Cut down the tree and chop off its branches. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it, and the birds from its branches. But leave the stump with its roots in the ground and with a band of iron and bronze around it in the tender grass of the field. Let him be drenched with dew from the sky and share the plants of the earth with the animals. Let his mind be changed from that of a human, and let him be given the mind of an animal for 7 periods of time. This word is by decree of the watchers, and the decision is by command from the holy ones. This is so that the living will know that the Most High is ruler over human kingdoms. He gives them to anyone he wants and sets the lowliest of people over them. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me the interpretation, because none of the wise men of my kingdom can make the interpretation known to me, but you can, because you have a spirit of the holy gods."
Well, at least he didn't make him tell him what the dream was and then interpret it. He at least gave him a little bit of a head start this time.
Yeah. So what do you think? What do you think's going on with this? Like, so Nebuchadnezzar, he...
The bunny.
Whoa, I love the bunny. I don't love my mom or my dad, just the bunny.
Okay. Is this VeggieTales?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
He was Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes, that's right. So, I don't know what it is about this particular guy, Nebuchadnezzar, but this guy has a lot of dreams.
He is the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of President Trump.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
I wonder if he maybe just ate a lot of acidy food.
I know.
I actually have very vivid dreams, and since what happened to me this past weekend, I've been woken up having very vivid dreams from it. And I remember them. My husband never remembers his dreams, but I've been woken up at 4 o'clock in the morning so I really haven't slept much because of it, but I had. And then before I decided to run for office, I was having these dreams of rescuing people, children, women, rescuing people. And I couldn't figure, so I started writing them down, and that's how I figured out every one of them had a theme.
Uh-huh.
I was rescuing somebody. And that's part of what led me to run for office. So there are people who have dreams. There's young men will dream dreams. Yeah. Isn't that biblical?
Yes.
So some people are given to those. I have to say that sometimes the only time that my brain is not moving is when I'm asleep. And so that's when things, maybe that's the way he is. He's got, as a politician, you got everybody who wants a piece of you. They want to touch you. He's the king. They want to have they want, because most people who run for office run for access.
Yeah, I mean, he starts off with, I was at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace.
People were coming. He had his concubines. He could do the things. And he was eating and people feeding him. And King Nebi, you need this. And we need to do this in this satrap and this province. And this is going on all day. So maybe the only time the Lord could get to him was at night.
Right.
Well, everybody's calling him a king and a savior and all of these things. And when you call him all those things, eventually they may believe it. I mean, you look at some of these rock stars that do these crazy things. When you put them up on that pedestal, you know, they're going to start believing all of that hype.
Makes me think of Mick Jagger. I have a funny story about that, but anyway.
We have a lot of archaeological evidence, from this particular period of time in Babylon, the Babylonian Empire, and Nebuchadnezzar II. He was really prolific fellow, when it came to building things. There's, all these different inscriptions and all these different, cylinders and stuff. And he really was,
busy.
Constantly talking about how rad he was. He was constantly building stuff, and there's his names on all these rocks and buildings. There really was a period of flourishing during this period of time, at least if we're with what's left behind, according to what's written down in these little inscriptions. So it's an interesting thing because, the story starts out reaffirming what, our archaeological evidence is telling us is true, is that he was this guy and he was in charge, but he was doing a good job. There was lots of prosperity and there was lots of a lot of building. He's specifically known for building bricks and making sure that his stamps on these bricks.
Well, it sounds to me like he's saying, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it sounds to me like he's saying, I'm at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace, which means this is not a time of war.
Right. Exactly. So that's what I'm saying.
His kingdom is.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying. So it's it starts out letting us, the story starts out being okay. Yeah. 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 All this good stuff. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then.
Right.
And then,
And then.
And so, yeah. Yeah.
So the thing that kind of stuck out to me, which is, just because of course it sounds identical to the very beginning of Daniel, where he's having the dream about, the statue, and it's the same kind of setup where he, for whatever reason, he brings all of these other people in again. Listen to what he said. I issued a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon to me in order that they might make the dream's interpretation known to me. When the magicians, mediums, Chaldeans, and diviners came in, I told them the dream, but they could not make its interpretation known to me. Finally, Daniel named Belteshazzar after the name of my God, and the spirit of God in him came before me. I told him the dream, right? Belteshazzar, head of the magicians. All right. This isn't the same incident. You notice this is a different incident because the last one was about a statue.
Yep.
This one is about a tree.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that means that this goof calls these guys in again.
Ahead of.
And it doesn't work, but he remembers, oh yeah, Belteshazzar did a solid last
Except
time.
Also, again, Nebuchadnezzar continues to worship his own gods after he what he does is he allows the God of the Jews to be included in the pantheon.
Yes.
That's what happens after the fire, right? He doesn't say that only this God is the only God. He's like, okay, this God's also pretty cool. Let's just add it to the pile.
Yeah.
And then that's why the story, I think that's why the letter begins with everything was chill.
Yes.
Because obviously in that period of everything was chill, he continued to also consult with his own spiritual advisors and continued to offer sacrifices to his own gods. Maybe tossing a piece of meat. Maybe tossing a piece of meat to, you know, Hashem, Elohim, Adonai, here and there. Like, you're part of the team now, but like, you're still not like where I'm going to go first.
Right, but right at the very beginning, he opens this letter, this proclamation,
yeah,
saying, I'm going to tell you, I'm pleased to tell you about the miracles and wonders the Most High God has done for me. So he's talking about—
Yeah, it's after, but yeah. He's telling you the story after.
Yeah,
He's telling it at the end of it.
Yes.
But when he goes back, so he tells you what's happening now, 2022,
yeah,
right? For example, 2025.
Yeah.
But then he's going to say, back in 2022,
yeah,
when I was still doing all this other stuff. And so—
That palace, it was going to be huge.
It was going to be huge. Huge. Yeah.
It's going to be the greatest palace ever in the history of palaces.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in essence, Ralph was right. He's like the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather
of
Trump.
Probably, yeah.
Do you ever stop to think that maybe some of these viziers or whoever it is he had counseling him might have known the truth and just were too scared to tell him because of things that have happened? You know, you don't give bad news to guys like that because they lop off your head.
Yeah.
Especially if you're the only one. And maybe
let the Jew tell him. That
Well, you pick Daniel because he's young and naive and he believed in God. So, you know, somebody older, how many older guys are going to get up there and tell the king that? Sorry, Lord, you want to pass that cup to somebody else?
Exactly.
He also, how he told the story in a bit different way than the first one.
Yeah.
The first one, he didn't tell them what the dream was. He wanted them to tell him what he had.
Mm-hmm.
This one, now he leads off with the story.
Yep.
And now you tell me what this means.
Yeah, it would be really cool if Daniel was like, that wasn't the dream, you goof.
Yeah, nice try. Yeah.
Or like the first Babylonian guy or Chaldean steps up and he's like, this is what it means, O king. And he's like, that wasn't even my dream. Throw him in the fire.
At least so far, he hasn't threatened his... the magicians or anything.
He's beyond that. So
I call burrow dung.
Burrow dung.
So let's look at this vision. Let's just read the vision again. Actually, let's not. Let's just go on down and listen to Daniel's interpretation because he's going to tell us all what this means. So does somebody else want to read starting in verse 19?
Do you want me to switch the...
I'm on the CSB. Can you do it?
I'm on RSV.
Well, you can do it. Do it RSV. Let's mix it up.
Mix it up. Why not? Okay, starting at verse 19. Here we go.
Yeah.
Daniel interprets the second dream. Then Daniel, who was called Belshazzar, was severely distressed for a while. His thoughts terrified him. The king said, Belshazzar, do not let the dream or the interpretation terrify you. Says the guy who said, but don't worry when I make things seven times hotter for people that piss me off. Whatever.
don't worry.
My lord, Belshazzar answered, my lord, may the dream be for those who hate you and its interpretation for your enemies. The tree that you saw, which grew great and strong so that its top reached to heaven and was visible to the end of the whole earth, whose foliage was beautiful and its fruit abundant and which provided food for all, underneath which animals of the field lived and in whose branches the birds of the air had nests. It is you, O king. I think I read something wrong.
That tree is
The last couple of words.
Yeah, may that be for your enemies. He's hoping, but it's like, it is you, O king. You have grown great and strong. Your greatness has increased and reaches to the heaven and your sovereignty to the ends of the earth. And whereas the king saw a holy watcher coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots in the ground with a band of iron and bronze in the grass of the field and let him be bathed with the dew of heaven and let his lot be with the animals of the field until seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and it is a decree of the Most High that has come upon my lord the king. You shall be driven away from human society, and your dwelling shall be with the wild animals. You shall be made to eat like grass like oxen. You shall be bathed with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you until you have learned that the Most High has sovereignty over the kingdoms of mortals and gives it to whom he will. As it was commanded to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be reestablished for you from the time that you learn that heaven is sovereign. Therefore, O king, may my counsel be acceptable to you. Atone for your sins with righteousness and your iniquities with mercy to the oppressed, so that your prosperity may be prolonged. Keep going.
The beatings will continue until morale improves.
Yeah, so basically, that's a good place to stop. So Daniel's afraid because he already knows oh, this was for you.
Yeah.
Remember last time?
I know. He's like, oh, this is such a bummer, dude.
Last time he saw the statue and he's like, you're the golden head of that statue, yeah. Right? And you're going to be so successful. And like, he's telling him in that first dream. This time he's like, oh, dude, you're going to be cut down. Mm. You're going to be like driven. You're going to go insane.
And I love how it's like super literal, right? Like all these other things, it's like a metaphor. Oh, the bronze feet represent the this. But he's like, no, you literally are just going to go live in the fields. That's why. Like, yeah, you're literally just going to go be covered in dew.
That moment in the state house when there's like, well, I need you to speak now. Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you don't want me to talk.
Yeah, God did these things for you. You're saying you did these things for you. You need to say, God did these things for me, and you'll be off the hook, but it doesn't get it.
So let me ask you this question. This is the only time in scripture where you actually hear the term watcher.
Isn't that fascinating?
It's the only time.
Divine counsel, baby.
So what exactly? You're a Heiser follower. So Michael Heiser, he does this.
I mean, he does. The unseen realm. They say it. You are, what does it say?
It's like an angel.
I think there's another watcher reference. I can't remember what
it is. It's in Daniel. They're all in Daniel,
you have
right?
a spirit of the holy little g gods. That's the divine counsel. And the spirit is the whole, that he's referencing that he doesn't know is the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, Daniel must have had it on him. He mentions the most high God of all the gods.
Yes.
It's the language is pretty clear. Once you see it, you can't hardly unsee it, you know. And just so many of our churches don't talk about this stuff.
I know. So the watcher, this is a very unique character in the scripture. Very unique.
He's allowed to destroy things.
He's like later on in Daniel, we'll hear of one called Gabriel, right? He's a man, but then he's also mentioned as an angel in the New Testament. So it's kind of odd. Gabriel's in Daniel's time and Gabriel's also in Matthew and Luke's time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like he's one of these characters that spans a lot of time. There's a lot of people that like to try to literalize some of these characters and say, oh, it's not really an angel. It's just a person. Yeah. But it's like, you can't do that with Gabriel. Gabriel spans generations, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah.
So this watcher is a unique individual. And can somebody Google and see how many times watchers in the Bible? I think it's only twice. And I think they're all in Daniel. I think. They have them in like the Book of Enoch. They're all over the place in that book. But that's not in our canon of scripture. Right? So anyway.
No, it's not.
The watcher, God allows this pagan king to see one of his holy ones.
Well, but you also got to look at the message.
Yeah.
Stop oppressing people.
Yeah.
Who were the oppressed? The Jews that were captive in Babylon.
Right. But that's the funny part. They're there because they're being punished. They're being punished for 70 years because of what they did. They broke the covenant with God.
Yeah.
But now they've got this guy that's over him, and he's like, it's the same thing that happens. Like, God sends.
I can hit my brother. What you got there, Andy? You know what I mean?
In the book of Daniel, this is an AI
response. Yes. AI. Okay.
So, like.
Sure.
Have a check, right? The book of Daniel, the term watcher, sometimes translated as sentinel or holy one, appears explicitly in chapter 4, verses 13, 17, and 23.
Three times only in this chapter in the Bible. It's the only time we see that word. Yep. Good job. That's what he got. He just confirmed that. So
I also was looking at it.
Were you?
I also was looking at it. Sorry.
Is it saying the same three times? So this is the only in Daniel chapter 4.
Claude knows his Bible.
Yeah, he does.
You named yours.
No, that's what it's called.
Oh. So anyway, mine is Bixby, by the way. Mine is Bixby, my AI guy.
I didn't use Grok. Maybe I should use Grok.
Now, whenever he is telling Nebuchadnezzar, like you said earlier, Tiziana, you were talking about like the bronze and the iron. It's interesting because he's using the same metals as that statue.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So remember how he made a golden statue of himself, because remember, he's that golden kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's made this golden image of himself, had people worship him. Now we get in, you know, he's rewarded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So we get into chapter 4. I don't know where this is in time exactly, like in his timeline, because, you know, because of the chiastic structure of Daniel.
I had it, and I didn't bring that notebook with me.
So I'm very curious. Like,
I think Daniel's like 40.
Okay, so we went from whenever he was 80 to whenever he's 40. Yeah, it's kind of wild, man. It's like he's a young man, he's 20, and then he's up to, you know, 80, and then he's 40. Like, I don't know where this is in time, but it's interesting because...
Was the last dream, was that when he was 80?
Oh, I don't know.
Of the statue?
No, I think he's 80 whenever he goes into the lion's den.
Yes.
He's old.
Yeah, he's old.
But we haven't got there yet.
Okay.
All right, so... Let's talk about the sentence. All right. Well, actually, let me get back to what I was saying about the metals.
But apparently, several commentaries, the word that's used for watcher in Hebrew is very similar to the Aramaic of the one that comes and gets John for Revelation. They're related.
Watcher? Okay.
Our Bible interprets that as an angel. Like mm-hmm. my Bible, my English Bible.
Yeah.
But apparently in their native languages, they're related.
Okay. So like you're talking about like in...
Like whenever in Revelation. Yeah. Like or Greek. What was that written in? Was it Greek or Greek? Yeah. So when
Revelation's in Greek. Yeah.
But the Septuagint, right. The Septuagint, those words are related. Mm-hmm. The Greek version of the Old Testament. The Septuagint.
So the Old Testament word, I think, is malach when it talks about like an angel or messenger. And so in the New Testament, it's angelos. So anyway.
Moloch.
Can you pull up your Strong's Concordance and tell me what that word watcher is? Is it Moloch? You know?
I didn't.
Very curious. Will you look at that, Rick?
Doing it now.
Thank you so much. So, all right, let me go back to this metal while he's looking that up. So it's always interesting to me when he starts talking about the wild animals because it makes me think of like the... Well, I'm around a lot of people that like believe in covenant creation. And so they put people in place of these animals, but it's kind of unique because he's this king that's over all of these nations. Yet in this vision, he's showing him this tree and he's saying that birds are in the branches. Makes me think of something Jesus said. He talks about how his kingdom is like a mustard seed that he's planted and then it grows so big that the birds nest in its branches. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's almost saying like, let's see. Sorry, I'm going back to what Rick said, then I'll come back to that. What is the word? Pronunciation, ear. It's almost like seer. Eye waking, watchful, wakeful one, watcher, angel. It's only three times in the Bible. Ear. Huh. An angel or a guardian. A watcher. So it's like one of these beings that's up there watching.
Well, it's Santa Claus. He knows who's naughty and nice.
Could be associated with the Tower of Babel.
We need to learn Hebrew.
When the people were split into the 72 nations, they had watchers put over each nation.
Yeah. We need to take that class from McClellan.
I just actually yesterday, as a matter of fact, I subscribed to his Patreon. I did 1 year's subscription to his Patreon so I can take that class.
So you can take the, really?
I think so. How I haven't had that, a chance. You know? How much is what?
How much is it to subscribe for 1 year?
$288.
But then you get like his full on like Hebrew class? You
get
access class?
To, first of all, you get a free t-shirt, okay?
Oh.
Second of all, you get access to any and all classes he's already given. He's already taught. One of them is on the Divine Council. One of them is on, you know, like just different things. And he's got like PowerPoints. And then like you can watch the lectures that he's written about and done about these things.
Yeah.
And then you have access to like these YouTube lives that he does. So you can ask him questions in real time. So I was like, as you're talking, I'm literally thinking to myself, well, I'll just ask Dan. The next time there's a thing, you know.
Enoch seems to be the place to go.
For the watchers. That's right.
The first book, yes.
Absolutely. But you know what's interesting? You know, I guess you've heard about Wesley Huff being on Joe Rogan and it kind of like went gangbusters.
Yeah, I listened to it. It was good.
When you think about it, like McClellan, like dwarfs Wesley Huff and his capability. Dan McClellan dwarfs Wesley Huff, seriously, in his capabilities. When it comes to his education and what he knows.
Yeah.
Absolutely does.
Yeah, his the amount of information that man contains inside of his brain is wild. Just absolutely, like, I don't know how he has time. I don't know how he remembers how to brush his teeth. Like, how do you also still have room for that after everything else?
I mean, I don't know Dan that well, even though I got to meet him, and I haven't followed as much as Sarita. Oh, yeah.
I saw him talking
to Tiziana. I was like, Sabrina?
Sarita.
Who's Sabrina?
He said Sarita.
I thought he said Sabrina.
He called you me.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, that's not so bad.
There's been a little
Sabrina. I don't know who that woman is.
Dan has actually, I guess, kind of tried to rebut Wes a little bit.
Yeah, on a couple specific points.
So, by the way, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but like Derek Lambert from MythVision is losing his mind.
Yes.
Him and Neil Sinlak, the Gnostic informant.
Why?
About Wesley Huff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because they're saying that Wesley Huff is lying about a lot of stuff. And they're like, and they have like footage where he's lying. And they're like, this is garbage. We can't believe this. Like, he's getting on, he's using this to get famous. It's like, dude.
Yeah.
But then Derek will go back and says, actually, I get it. He's a hustler, just like him, right? That's what everybody's just trying to get known. I get it. Come on, Joe, put me on there. So, all right. So, what I was thinking about was whenever the birds were in the branches, it made me think of what Jesus said about his kingdom, about how the kingdom of God would grow and that the birds would nest in its branches. And so, it's almost like in this, part of Daniel, that it's a sign of like absolute superiority and authority. It's like this, and grand. It's grand. It's this amazing king.
Yeah, and it's it's a symbol of overarching power and overarching protection. You know, and provision. But it's also a big ego boost. Look what I have created.
If you think about it, listen to what Daniel said. Daniel said, you are the tree. It's not the kingdom. It's the man.
Yeah.
Which makes me think of the kingdom of God and how we are in Christ.
Oh.
Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Christ is the tree.
Yeah.
Anyway, just something, I don't know. Just my
Those are nice, fun little parallels that just kind of like, you can go.
Now, the interesting thing is should.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys are talking about all this stuff you're subscribed to read and do this and all that. I'm feeling like a heathen here. I just bought like 3 courses on how to ride a motorcycle in the dirt. I'm like,
motorcycle in the dirt.
I've been
reading Bills.
I'm a heathen. Y'all are out Christian in me.
Yeah.
I think everybody knows how I feel.
What
about
have you been doing,
Mr.
Billy?
McKellen. I don't think he cares what I think about it.
Billy's just sawing wood.
Yeah. Well, I chopped that tree down.
Yeah. You turned that thing into a pallet.
Out of that bad boy.
It's a cherry tree.
All right. Sarita, have you got your Bible?
You sure know it.
Yep. Can you read verse 28 through 33?
My Bible goes to the Columbia with me. It goes on the house floor with me.
Does it?
Yes, it do.
That's what I'm talking about.
23?
28 through 33.
And all this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. I think that we just stop there. All the stuff happened.
Everything that he just said happened.
Pow.
So he says, you will be driven away from people to live with the wild animals. You will feed on grass like cattle and be drenched with dew from the sky for 7 periods of time until you acknowledge that the Most High is ruler over human kingdoms and he gives you them to anyone he wants. In other words, you're not there because you think you're there. You're there because our Most High God put you there.
Yep.
And until you acknowledge it, you will be a madman.
It about to happen.
And God gave him a year.
Yeah.
At the end of 12 months.
The end of 12 months.
Ralph. As he was walking on the roof of the royal palace in Babylon. Who else got in trouble being on the roof?
David.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
The king exclaimed, is this not Babylon the Great that I have built to be a royal residence by my vast power and for my majestic glory?
Uh-huh.
While the words were still in his mouth, a voice came from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar. To you it is declared that the kingdom has departed from you. You will be driven away from people to live with the wild animals, and you will feed on grass like cattle for 7 periods of time until you acknowledge that the Most High is ruler over human kingdoms, and he gives them to anyone he wants. At that moment, the message against Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people. He ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with dew from the sky until his hair grew like eagle's feathers and his nails looked like bird's claws.
Man.
Well.
seven periods of time. That's just like kind of language.
7 years, right?
Completeness, right?
Honestly,
yeah, completeness. 7 years.
Yeah, I think it's a seven. Just like a until it's done sort of thing.
Perfection until it's completed. Yeah, but I don't know what seven periods of time is. All I know is that
I think
this
seven. I guess I'm just
it's,
saying.
It's
I think
seven
this,
years.
This,
I thought it was 7 years.
It's 7 years. So, oh, yeah, okay. It's seven
can you
years.
Imagine what? Listen, yeah, I hate long fingernails. Some of these women got these fingernails that like. Do y'all remember those runners back in the day that had the they curled up?
Yeah,
that's what his fingernails look like. Oh, it makes me want to vomit.
You know what it makes
so
me
so bad.
Has anybody ever seen the movie The Aviator?
What's his name?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
I almost said Hudson Hawk.
But yes,
Howard Hughes.
Howard Hughes. Yes. Howard Hughes.
You remember how he looked whenever he was like peeing in bottles and like his hair was all shaggy and his nails were long and it was gross. Yeah. Like, but he was washing his hands like a crazy person.
But at least he was inside and protected from the elements.
True, but this
guy's not inside or protected from the elements.
Who's running the kingdom right now?
His satraps and people who just told who wouldn't tell him what his dream was.
Probably Daniel.
Daniel,
you know what I mean?
Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Maybe, you know.
Well, think about it. He rewarded them and put them in charge. They're in charge of
Babylon.
The
last we knew, anyway.
But don't you walk around on the roof of your shop going, look what I created.
You know who it made me think of? Do you remember in the book of Acts where King Herod does that? King Herod gets up and I am the man. Instead of as the words are in his mouth, boom, God kills him.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, at least this one got to go eat grass.
Yeah, that's true. And got to have, eat, like,
can you
what
imagine that? Not having a care in the world, you know? You get to go be out in the forest and not have a care in the world. All these people coming to you with this problem and that problem.
Of course,
you got to feed these folks. You
got
to feed those folks. And I get to unplug for 7 years.
I don't have to trim
up. Where do I sign up for that?
It sounds like madness.
It is
not like literal madness. It sounds like literal madness.
So he went.
I'm okay with that.
Totally. He went crazy.
In ancient times, too, like just because a king was mad, sometimes in ancient times, madness in a person like that was treated like they have spirits on them walking in our midst right now. Like, let's not mess with that.
Wouldn't you say that's what is exactly is happening to him?
Well, yeah. And so, yeah. So, you know, it's not like people would have maybe seen that and been like, oh man, now's the time. Let's just off him and take his kingdom. It's possible, you know.
I don't think the Lord would have allowed that.
Right. But also just like culturally, what would have going on, like it would have been kind of maybe partially baked into their culture at that point to be like, ooh, let's not mess with that. Like there's a thing happening over there that is dangerous for us to touch or mess with because like the gods are doing that. So like, let's not mess with that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Cause they said, don't mess with the stump.
Anyhow, well, right.
You know,
maybe that went through his mind at the end. Hey, I get a 7-year break. Sign me up.
Maybe.
I
don't know. them long fingernails doesn't sound like a vacation to me.
They could have.
No, but you know what's really interesting?
Well, they didn't say they were that. They didn't say they were that long because they said they were like birds. Talons, and they're not that long. Bro. So they're long.
Eagles' talons are long. Yeah.
Well, they're not that long.
Yeah.
Some are longer than others.
I wonder if they just sent him out there. If he started going crazy, they sent him out there with Singa.
You two knock it off.
Hey. Man.
Anyway.
So he ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with dew from the sky, which meant that he never came back inside. He was out all the time until his hair grew like eagle's feathers. So like, what is that? Like matted?
Dude, that's probably just like one of those lost in translation things that like we don't get in English. Because an eagle's feather, I can't imagine. What is that? I don't get it.
Me either.
That doesn't make any sense.
It keeps you warm and keeps the water off
you. I just imagine it was long and matted and gross.
I was
whatever.
Thinking like dreads.
Yeah. Yeah. Long and matted and gross. Yeah. I don't know.
Like an eagle's feather.
Because like an American culture, we're like, no, but that's rad.
And by the way, his nails were like bird's claws, not necessarily eagle's claws.
Well, the water just beat it up off his hair. It never soaked in.
I don't know.
He didn't need a blanket because the feathers kept warm.
Ralph's loving this.
Oh, listen. Yeah. Ralph is like, bro.
If your hair starts getting long,
Ralph,
we're going to have
so
an intervention.
Close to checking that box
to
retiring.
Yeah, I am.
You're like, you know what?
I'm so close to not letting somebody else tell me what to do anymore. I'm like so close.
Ralph's going to roll up at Inman
think
and be
I'm
like,
look what I'm thinking created. About.
Listen, the news will come to his house.
He'll be
and
on
he's
the roof.
Out back eating the grass. What's up? He's like, check out
represent.
Ralph.
Represent.
You can't tell me nothing.
Ralph, have you got your Bible?
No, but I have some. I have this.
Is it printed out on the paper?
The list of bills that I was just reading.
I got it printed.
Here. How to ride a dirt here, bike.
Read it from Rick's. He's got it for you.
Well, I have it here. I told you I had
okay,
it printed
well,
out.
Okay, well, do me a favor.
From where to where.
Now, so he's out in the field 34. Living the Ralph life. And pick up at verse 33? 34 and read through the rest.
Be careful, Ralph, or you're going to put your eye out.
I'd like to point out
with
that
your talon.
Rice is a grass. Wheat is a grass. Most of our corn is a grass. Most of our staple crops are grass.
And also dandelion, very healthy thing for you to eat. The greens on dandelions.
Lemongrass.
Well, listen, he obviously lived.
I only knew
very
about the
healthy.
Wine.
If you go in the apocalypse, go for the dandelion greens. They have more nutrition in them than any other
locust
green leaf lettuce.
Andy, because you said that, you bring up a very good point. At the very beginning, when God made all the things and he put Adam.
Here we go.
He said, I'll give you every green thing to eat and it'll be meat for you. Remember that? Yeah. The herbs and the green like to eat. So for him, like he's going to live for 7 years eating this grass. I guess.
So did God put him in the garden?
No, he did not. He put him in Ralph's backyard.
That's right.
All right, Ralph, verse 34 through the rest of the chapter.
And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. And his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for my glory, the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom. And excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the kingdom of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase.
Man, that's a really fascinating chapter. So
then why does he lose the kingdom in literally the next chapter?
Well, he doesn't.
No,
it goes to Belteshazzar, his son. I mean, it goes to his son.
Well,
remember, he dies. He dies. And his son takes it.
As all people die.
And he literally has it for like a hot minute.
Yeah.
And then the Medo-Persians come all up in there.
Yeah.
The Medes.
Yeah.
So, but I guess the thing we're saying here is, what's interesting, I think what God is saying is through this book is, I'm punishing my people, and I made you a great kingdom to do it.
But that doesn't exempt you from being crappy,
a jerky jerk face.
From being a jerky jerk face.
Right. You're going to now I'm going to tell you who I am.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put you out, you know, to pasture.
But that's very much on brand for what was going on at that period of time.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about this before, too, that the story of the Old Testament, Hebrew Bible, is the war between gods and what my God is better than your God, bigger than my God. And like you've got in Ezekiel this vision and the God of the Jews riding on this, leaving the temple in Jerusalem and riding on a chariot to Babylon to be with his people. That was like revolutionary because gods were attached to their lands, quote unquote.
Right.
And so this idea that this God was now was like, I'm not attached to a temple. I'm not attached to land. I'm God. I go wherever I want.
Right.
Watch this.
Yeah.
And so for that story to then be like, and even here, where my people are apparently under your power, you are actually still under my power.
Yes.
That's very much on brand
and that's
for
the lesson.
What they're doing there. Yeah.
And
so,
the lesson for Nebuchadnezzar is that he is actually the God over all the kingdoms of men. That the whole purpose, when he shows him the statue, what does he say? You're the head, and then there's going to come one after you, and one after that, and one after that. And he's going to insulate his people in the midst of all these. Mm-hmm. And then from there is going to be this big stone that crushes that statue and becomes a mountain, mm-hmm. which is Christ, obviously. The Mount Zion, the true Israel, the all in all, Christ is. nothing that Nebuchadnezzar can do whatsoever has anything to do whatsoever with what God wants to have done. God's going to do it.
Right.
That's the Hebrew, you know, hero story.
Well, and again, like, I think it's fascinating to point out that, like, Daniel says to him specifically, you need to show mercy on the oppressed people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He goes 1 year without doing it. And then there's this 7 year period of time. Now, listen, now Nebuchadnezzar's reign was like 43 years. Like, archaeological evidence, yeah. Bible aside, we know this, right?
Yep.
That's like one of the longest reigns in the history, but we really only have a lot of evidence for like 11 of those years. So, like, God only knows, like, what's going on here? What's happened? When did this one end and the next one start? Because the bottom line is, he didn't send the Jews home, did he?
Mm-mm. He did not.
So he might have ended that script being like, okay, I'm going to be humbled. I'm humbled. But you still didn't do. And then literally the next chapter, guess who takes over? Cyrus the Great. It's not Darius the Mede. That's what the Bible says. That person's not real. There's nobody knows who that is. They think it was just probably like the way that the Hebrew would have said some things.
They think it's the same guy.
But no one else ever calls Cyrus the Great Darius the Mede. No one else ever does that.
Right.
And so they think that what happens is when we've translated the words into English, like the way we did it, like blah, 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 blah. What did Cyrus do?
He sent
the Jews home.
He did.
So it's like.
Matter of fact, according to Isaiah, it predicts his name.
Yeah.
It predicts his name before he's even born.
Right.
That he's going to be the one to send him back.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Isn't that wild? A lot of the Isaiah prophecies are about Cyrus/Jesus. Like, prophecies often contain something for the people then and then later, but whatever. Like, so it's interesting. I wish there was more right in the middle there, between 4 and 5.
Right.
I wish there was more.
Yeah.
Because we don't know when this 7 year period was in the period of his reign. We don't know if this was in the middle, if it was near the end. We don't know. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's just like in the book of Chronicles, and they're just like, well, you know, and the whatever else was being said, is it not written down in the book of such and such? Go read it there. A lot of that stuff's been lost. You know,
just,
and it's
like
just
a man to leave you wanting more.
It's
huh?
just well, not the right one.
Not listen, the right one.
Listen,
yet.
I don't know you what your here. Wife has to say about that. But listen, the point is, I love.
For the record, no comment, Holly.
Yeah. The point is, God, that man might have had a change of heart, but he didn't have a change of behavior. Enough that God was willing to allow his kingdom to continue. Because it's not like Nebuchadnezzar died and his lineage continued and Babylon continued. Babylon was sacked by the person who was willing to do the thing that God wanted, mm-hmm. which was send the people back.
Yep, that's right. But what's really wild about it is that it was all timed. It was all set in a specific time. Nebuchadnezzar didn't have a say-so in the matter whatsoever anyway. He really didn't. Because by the time you get to the end of Daniel, he tells you that Daniel figures out through the books written about Jeremiah that they were going to be there for 70 years. Like, he figures out in Daniel chapter 9. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that later. But anyway, this was a really good chapter to kind of like give you an idea of this, the most powerful man of his time discovers the God of Daniel. And by the way, Belteshazzar, his name.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the name of his God. Mm-hmm. I did a little back history on this, a little research on this, and here's what I found. So Belteshazzar is of Babylonian origin, and it is the name given to the biblical figure Daniel when he was taken into captivity in Babylon. Its exact meaning is debated, but it is generally understood to relate to Babylonian gods. Obviously, the Bible says it was the name of my God, says that. But what it means is Bel, protect the king. Bel refers to a chief Babylonian god who is also known as Marduk.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll hear about Marduk through scripture. This interpretation suggests a prayer or invocation for the god Bel to protect the king. And then also another variation is Baal's prince, tying the name to the god Bel, not Baal, but Bel, B-E-L, mm-hmm. implying a connection of favor from the deity. So the renaming of Daniel to Belteshazzar was part of an assimilation process to integrate him into Babylonian culture, which we talked about before, symbolizing his service to the Babylonian king and their gods. So it's really interesting that he would go to the trouble with this kid and name him after their god.
And then he would actually turn out to be the person that he goes, like the one that actually does have the real messages from God.
That's right.
For his kingdom and stuff. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. It's wild.
Well, does anybody else have anything they want to add before we close this baby out?
What do you think God was thinking, or what do you think he thinks about anything that we are thinking currently of? Like when it comes to this,
I think he thinks my thoughts are real cool.
At the end with Nebuchadnezzar, I just got sick of him. So he's gone. I'm going to move on to something else. And here we are thinking all of these different things. How could it be this? And could it be this? And what is this? And what is this? I just think it'd be interesting.
I mean, I love David. David says it perfectly in the scriptures. He says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You know, like what in the world?
Yeah.
But he made it to begin. Like the Bible
We're
starts
his
off
family.
With made. What is man that thou art mindful of him?
We're his family.
Mm-hmm.
That's what. That's
yeah.
What it
made
is.
For his pleasure, according to the scriptures. That's what it's saying. He made them to be family.
And I think it's just like Jesus said. You know, you tithe your tenth of your dill and your cumin and your mint, and you ignore the greater things, mercy and justice. You should have. You should have done those things without neglecting the former, right? So I think, like, as long as we're doing what 1 John says, religion that God finds pure and faultless is this, take care of widows and their destitution and orphans. As long as you're doing the things and living your life in the way that is actually in line with the things God really cares about, you know, I think he's perfectly fine if we then spend our extra time quibble quobbling about what happened between verses, you know, chapters 4 and 5 in Daniel.
Right,
he's like, oh, that's interesting. Y'all think that's fun. That's cute.
Wait till you get here and we talk.
Yeah. Wait till you get here and none of that even matters anymore, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, and that's one of the things about this. That's why I like going through this study that kind of like old school the way we always did before, because I've got like pages and pages and pages on chapter 4 that it's just deep, man. It's like crazy, crazy deep, especially about the cattle and the grass and like what it all means. And let's just read it for what it is and look at it from a practical point of view, and then we'll go back later and just kind of dig a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because this all builds, this all builds into a beautiful chiastic structure, something that I didn't know existed until Sarita, and now I found them all over the Bible. They're everywhere. I
told ya.
They're everywhere.
I told ya. Did I not tell ya?
I even discovered it in my Genesis 1, 1, 2, 2. Yeah, Genesis 1, 1.
I told
y'all
that too. Go back and listen to that. I told you.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wish I would have listened then, because I was going
crazy.
The
entire book of Genesis.
It's nuts, bro.
Anybody listening to Jordan Peterson?
No.
I have not.
Oh, he's
working on the Gospels right now, but I haven't.
Yeah, he said a few things that I found interesting and I agreed with, so I bought a couple of his books, We Who Argue With God, or We Who
Wrestle
With God. So I just got that, so I want to read that, because some of the things he said I was interested in. That's why I was checking to see if anybody else had heard.
I've heard of him. We are actually trying.
I've listened to some Jordan Peterson.
He's Canadian,
really,
eh?
We were close to having him on as a guest before he got big when he went on Rogan. Bill Evans, the truck driver theologian, was trying to hook me up with that dude. Mm-hmm. And it all happened too quick.
Yeah.
So
we don't need him.
No.
But
matter of fact,
him.
Somebody had sent me a message about Wesley Huff about 3 months ago and said, you should have this dude on your program. I've got it in my email. They sent it to my email. You should have Wesley Huff on. I was like, oh, neat.
And
didn't
then
think
I,
anything of it. And now he's like the biggest dude ever.
Then I send him the video to you about it. And you're like, oh my God, dude, I just had this email about him.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah. You should have asked Daniel.
Should have. Yes. Oh, man. Every time I read Belteshazzar, do you guys remember that movie? It was a Christmas movie. It had Arnold Schwarzenegger in it.
Jingle All the Way.
What was the name of the guy that was his neighbor that kept coming over there and like wanting his wife?
Sinbad.
No, that was the guy.
Postal guy.
Do you know what I'm talking about? His neighbor that was like.
I hadn't seen that in 30 years.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, this hurts my feelings. Anyway.
Aww.
Come on, guys.
It hurts my feelings.
My brain can't remember.
I'm taking my ball.
I got it.
There it is.
Phil Hartman.
Oh, Phil Hartman.
Gosh. He was so brilliant.
But he was so brilliant. Yes. But what happens is. Arnold Schwarzenegger sets his house on fire, you know, sets his neighbor's house on fire trying to get that special toy, Turbo Man. And he sets one of the wise men on fire, and he kicks the head through the window.
Yes.
And then Phil Hartman comes out and he goes, Baltazar. And every time I read Baltazar, I always think of Phil Hartman. That was a long time.
Wasn't that traditionally one of Baltazar? Wasn't that traditionally one of the name of the wise men?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they, there were three of them.
Oh, because that was the name of his wise man, Baltazar?
And he goes, Baltazar. Reminded me of Belteshazzar. Anyway, all right, thanks, guys.
Hey.
Billy?
Yes, sir.
It's so nice to see you again, man. It's nice to be here.
What I do. what I do.
Candy does what I candy does.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you being here, Sarita.
Glad to be here.
I'm going to write some legislation on getting somebody to teleport me home. I don't know if I'm going to make it.
You don't have a jet yet? The Sarita jet.
It's only a matter of
time. I got
the
Sarita BMW.
That's right.
It goes pretty fast.
Andy, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You make us sound tremendous.
You sound beautiful. I apologize. Just how you are.
I apologize for all of the crap that I put out the last 2 months of the year.
Ralph, enjoyed listening to
it. Represent.
Thanks so much, Big Daddy.
Yep.
Thanks for driving all the way up. Yep. You drove all the way up from Columbia.
I bet I'm only driving halfway back.
Yes. He's got to drive back to Columbia.
I got to go the whole way.
I drove here
from Columbia today. Yeah.
Did you?
You did.
Oh, that's right. Nice. He was in Columbia today.
I was in Columbia
Shut
when Rick called me.
Huh?
I got an email. Yeah. I got
to
talk to you.
Okay. I can't wait. All right, guys.
Love
we'll talk to you again next time on the Burrs of Berea. Peace out.
Later.
Bye.
Go home, y'all. Hey, guys. This is Rick from the Burrs of Berea. A lot of people have been asking us, hey, what is this Patreon thing? Our old Patreon ad didn't work very well. So here you go, guys. Go to www.patreon, that is patreon.com. Let me do that again. patreon.com/theburrows of Berea. If you go to the Patreon page, you will find that we have different levels that you can give at. We have a $3 level, a $5 level. We've got a $10 level and a $20 level. I thought about putting a $1,000 level there, but you never know how that's going to work out, right, Andy? That's right. So go to www.patreon.com/theburrowsofberea and give us all of your money.
even a little bit will be fine.
Yeah. And that $5,000 wouldn't hurt my
either. No, it would hurt nobody.
Thanks, guys.